befall us, and all Satan oppose. Hallelujah, God leads his dear children along. Through God's grace we shall conquer. We'll defeat all of our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us
ministering song to us. Certainly that hymn's one of my favourites, and what wonderful words are contained within it when we consider even the leading and the blessing of the Lord even to his children. We're going to unite our hearts in prayer at this stage, and let's just seek the Lord for his blessing and for his help upon our time together this evening. Let's pray. Eternal God and Father in heaven, we bow before thee this evening, in and through that precious name that is above all other names. We do rejoice, O God, this night that we're coming around the throne of grace. We're coming before the living and the true God, made nigh and made possible for us by the God-man himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee this night that we can turn to thee, that we can look to thee, that we can trust in thee. We can cast all of our care upon thee, knowing that thou dost care for us. We thank thee this night that each and every one that is saved can identify and can say that we are thy children and that thou art our God. We thank thee even for that hymn that has been sung to us this evening. And O God, what blessed encouragement is found in it, that God leads his dear children along. And Lord, we do acknowledge that there's only one way that we can come to be thy children, and it is indeed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that shed blood. We thank thee, O God, for the perfection and the purity of that blood. We thank thee, O God, that it cleanseth us from all sin, and yet it covers that multitude of sins in our lives. And we do rejoice that when those sins are covered, they'll never be revealed again. We thank thee for the truth of thy precious word, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a blessed hope and a blessed joy that is to our hearts, knowing that our sins have been dealt not in part, but indeed in the whole. And O God, we pray this night that thou wilt encourage thy children afresh, that thou wilt minister to each and to every one of our hearts as we come around thy precious word even now. Do remember each one that is joining in. Do remember their individual and particular needs. O God, that thou wilt draw near to them, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to their very souls this night and comfort them and strengthen them and give that word of encouragement to each and to every heart. If there needs to be that word of rebuke or that word of challenge, O God, may it be done even with that grace from on high. May it come with that sweetness, even in that, Lord, work within the heart being done, that they will be encouraged and drawn ever closer to their Saviour. O Father, bless in the reading of thy word. We do acknowledge that thy word alone is truth. And Lord, we do rejoice that thy word has been given to us even in this form. Lord, help us as we read it. Help us as we preach. O God, minister to each one. Lord, bless this night, we pray. Do remember as well our denomination. Do remember our students. We think of them in these days as they take their winter examinations. Lord, we realize that there's so much is different and so much unsettledness even within the term. But, O God, we just pray that that help will be given and each student will know the help and the presence of Almighty God with them, that thou wilt bring them through their examinations for thine honor and indeed for thy glory. Father, bless us now and do us good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Joshua, The book of Joshua in the chapter number 8, if you're just joining with us, we do extend again to each one a very warm welcome. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and encourage you and indeed speak to you through his word this evening. The book of Joshua in the chapter 8, we're continuing our series in the mountaintop experiences as we journey through the scriptures together, looking at the various mountains that are recorded for us in scripture. And tonight we come to Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to break into the reading at the verse number 30. Joshua chapter 8 and the verse number 30. The word of God says, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as a stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them." Amen. And we look to the Lord as always for his writing, even of his precious word upon each and upon every one of our hearts this evening. We've entitled this message, Mount Ebal, the Rededication Experience. Mount Ebal, the Rededication Experience. We come this evening to yet another mountaintop in the scriptures. And when you consider the various mountains that are recorded in the books of the Bible, there are some which are more readily known than others. You consider those that we've already looked at up until this point. We think of Mount Sinai and we think of Mount Moriah, places which are brought to the children even through the stories of Abraham and Moses. But there are many which are lesser known in Christian circles, places that easily slip under the radar. And I believe that the two mountains which are mentioned in this passage tonight would indeed fall into that category. And yet Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim are located in the very center of Israel. They're at the very heart of that land. They're in that key centrality and that key central spot for all of Israel even to gather to. And it's to that place that Joshua would gather the Israelites on that occasion which we have read together this evening, Israel has entered into the promised land. And certainly whenever you read the opening chapters of the book of Joshua, all has been going well. They have begun well in that campaign to rid the land of the various hosts, the various enemies, and to take over that promised land in accordance with God's will. Joshua's leader had indeed been following and obeying the Lord in every point of the campaign. Just to give a brief overview of the book of Joshua up until this point, he had sent spies in wisdom, and he had sent them over, those two spies, into the city of Jericho itself. Even before they crossed the river Jordan, those two spies had been dispatched. And in his wisdom, he had given them that understanding, he had given them that command, that instruction, that when they returned, they would talk to no one to save Joshua alone. You know, you can see the wisdom in it, because when the 12 spies went and they returned, they reported to all of Israel. And the 12 spies, 10 of them were bad, 2 of them were good, and only the 2 good spies, Joshua and Caleb, gave a good report. The 10 spies gave a bad report, and it was given in the ears of all of the children of Israel. And of course, we know that then they turned away. And they didn't even make that journey. They turned away in fear, and they ended up wandering in the wilderness for so many more years. But Joshua, whenever he had dispatched his 2 spies, he had told them, he instructed them, you come back to me and to me alone. And so they had returned. They gave that report of Rahab. And then the Israelites in the chapter, next chapter, they were brought across the river Jordan. And God had given the instruction to Joshua as to how they would cross, and how the Ark of the Covenant would be bared even before them and bore down into that water. And it would go before any of the other Israelites. There was that gap which had to be kept, and that gap which had to be accepted, even of that distance between the Israelites and the Levites. And of course, whenever they came down into that water, the water split. That great river Jordan, that separated, and it went into a gap of almost 25 miles. And all 2 million of the Israelites crossed over that river Jordan and were brought over in safety, once again obeying God's word. The great city of Jericho was taken over in accordance with the will, in accordance with the word of God. The Lord himself had appeared as the captain of the host unto Joshua outside of the city. He gave them the entire battle plans, walking round the city once a day for 6 days. And then the 7th day, walking round it those multiple times. And then shouting that great shout, the walls fell down flat. My, certainly you could say they had been in obedience. They had started well. But sadly, after the victory at Jericho, things began to unravel. Sin entered into the camp and quickly spread. Achan had rebelled against God's ruling. They were told, do not touch anything. Do not take anything out of the city of Jericho for yourself. It is not yours. It is the Lord's. It is to be left for him. There is nothing to be touched. And Achan, in his lust and his desire, had seen the garments, had seen the silver, had seen all of the preciousness, and had taken it and hidden it in his own tent. He had coveted that which was not his. And that sin, even various sins, then came into the camp and greatly spread around. Because the next city they were to take on was Ai. It was only a little city. And yet pride had entered in by this stage, even within the hierarchy, within the ruling elders and generals within the camp of Israel. Because they looked at that little city and they said, it's only a little thing. We don't need all of the men. Just send a remnant of them. Just send a band on its own. We don't need the entire army. Not one had consulted with the Lord. Not one had went to the Lord for his battle plans, for his battle's instructions. There was no strategy had been handed down from the Lord to Joshua. And sadly, whenever they came up against Ai, they ran in the face of that army. Men were killed. And then there had to be that soul searching. God revealed a sin even to them, and they had to come. That sin had to be located out of Achan, out of his family, and that sin had to be dealt with. And then in the aftermath of that, the Lord gave the instructions of how to take Ai. And Joshua, in chapter 8, if you read it for yourself in your own time, you'll see that Joshua follows the battle plans that the Lord gave. The entire city of Ai is destroyed. Indeed, it tells us in verse 28, Joshua burnt Ai and made it in a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. The entire city is destroyed. The king of Ai, it tells us in 29, is hanged on a tree until eventide. Then his body is taken down. He's cast at the entering of the gate, and a great heap of stones, that monument, is raised up over it. And it's immediately after this that Joshua brings the people to the Mount Ebal. And there upon that mountaintop, they rededicate themselves to the Lord. In reality, there's only one point I want to leave with you this evening in relation to this passage and to this mountaintop. I want you to see the construction of the altar. The construction of the altar. Because here upon that mountaintop, as they rededicate themselves to the Lord, it's all focused around the one thing, the altar. You know, whenever you read those verses, it tells us in the verse 30, Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. You know, it's interesting, it's worthy even to pause just for a moment to consider the timing of this. They have just won the battle at Ai. And instead of building on that momentum, instead of pushing forward, instead of working and going with the morale being high and the morale being boosted and driving forward to take more in cities and to take over more armies, why they're in fear, why there is that worry even amongst the various generals and the various other kings, Joshua stops. Joshua says, no more cities for now. We're moving to Ebal. Thereupon Mount Ebal, he builds an altar. You know, that was not just an ad hoc decision. It was not something off the cuff that he did there as he finished up at Ai. He didn't just decide in a moment of madness, as it were, oh, I'm going to now just redirect. I'm going to go away off in another direction. No, this mountain wasn't even beside Ai. What he did was he marched his men, he marched the Israelite people between 20 and 30 miles away. Joshua led them all to that mountain. He led them to the top of the mountain. And in their presence, he proceeded to construct an altar. Why Ebal? Why an altar? Well, if you turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 27, you'll find the reason why. Deuteronomy in the chapter 27, and the verse 4 of the chapter, it says, Moses is speaking, therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God. An altar of stones, thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. God's command to the Israelites had been given through Moses. And Joshua, as the leader, he leads the people to that designated place, and he leads them there to follow that designated program that had been given to them by the Lord himself. You see, Joshua is teaching them that as they have now entered into the promised land, and as they would be settling down, and as city would fall after city, and the king would fall after king, and each part of the land would be taken over and then divided up amongst the Israelites and divided up amongst the tribes, he is teaching them, he is showing them, above all other things, you need an altar. You need an altar of worship. The altar of worship to God must be central, hence the location. It must be a priority, hence the timing. You see, the altar in those days was a meeting place between God and man. when men would come away from the battles of the day, when they would come away from the work of the day, when they would come away from the trials of the day, and there with that Mount Ebal, that altar being resurrected and growing and set up in that place, then they would climb that mountain. Why? To meet with God. To be alone with God. Yea, to worship God. Remember, child of God, tonight God has commanded his people to worship him. Matthew 4 in the verse 10, it says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking during his time of temptation in the wilderness. Those 40 days when he ate nothing and was continuously tempted by the devil. And of course, we get that, just that little glimpse into those temptations at the end, the three various temptations that are brought before him. And each time in those temptations, as the devil tempts the Lord, whether it be upon the mountaintop, whether it be by the stones, or whether it be from the pinnacle, the Lord quotes and brings to the devil scripture. And each time the scriptures that he uses are all from the book of Deuteronomy. And that verse that we've read together in Matthew 4 and 10, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Lord Jesus himself is quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, and Deuteronomy 10 and the verse 20. You see, the emphasis there is upon the worship. The emphasis is placed upon the importance of the altar, the importance of meeting with God. And brethren, sisters, tonight let me encourage you and let me remind you, we need that altar in our lives. We need that place, that altar where we meet alone with God. We need that individual personal altar. We can call it in the New Testament, it's referred to as a closet. Whenever we enter into the closet and we shut the door and we're alone with God, it's that altar place, it's that meeting place, one with his Savior. We need the individual altars, we need the family altars. We need that time whenever the children and the parents gather together in the home, they read, they pray, they worship together. We need the congregational altars when we come away from the world, we gather to God's house. We gather to worship, we gather to meet with the Lord. I cannot emphasize highly enough the importance of having the altar within our lives, having the individual altar, having the family altar, having the congregational, the communicant, the corporate altar. It's a necessity. It's a priority. I think of Noah when he came out of the ark. After the great flood had came and after the flood had went away. It tells us in Genesis chapter 8. Whenever he exited the ark and all of the animals come out and all of his family come out with him. The very first thing he did. Genesis 8 and verse 20. He built an altar. He didn't build a home. He didn't get the pleasures and all of the comforts in place. He didn't go and look for food or look for lodging or look for shelter that night. The very first thing that's recorded in Genesis, after he comes out of the ark, he builds an altar. I think as well, and we're going to look at that at this Sunday coming, Elijah upon Mount Carmel. Before he built the altar, remember, we're coming to that point now with the fires about to fall. That gauntlet, that challenge was laid down with the prophets of Baal. Each one would have, Elijah would have a bullock and they would have a bullock. And each one would build an altar out of wood and out of stones. And then they would pray down the fire from their various gods. But you know in 1 Kings 18 and the verse 30. Before Elijah ever built his altar to lay the bullock upon it. It tells us first of all he repaired the altar of the Lord. That was broken down. Now I wonder tonight, how are our altars of worship? Do we maintain our altar? Do we use our altar? Or is our altar with the Lord broken down? When was the last time, brethren and sisters, you met with the Lord? When was the last time that you got alone with God? You got into his book. You got into the place of prayer. You were alone with your Father in heaven. You had that sweet fellowship, that sweet communion with him. When was the last time you had your family gathered together? When was the last time, Father, that you gathered your wife, your children, around the Word of God together? When was the last time you were gathered together with the brethren and sisters in this house? You know, the details of the altar which Joshua builds, indeed, is very important. Scripture gives us all of the detail that's recorded for us in the verses there in Joshua 8. And each aspect of it all points to the one thing. All points to the cross of Christ. All points to the salvation which Christ purchased upon the cross. You consider just for a moment with me, whenever we're looking at this altar, if you consider the picture. This altar had to be constructed as it was written in the scriptures, verse 31 tells us. As he says in the verse 30, he built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. It had to be according to the divine design. And everything in relation to Christ's sacrifice upon the cross and his death was in accordance with the divine design. Everything in relation to Christ's sacrifice upon the cross was in accordance with the Word of God. Just as Joshua was fulfilling Scripture by building Mount Ebal's altar, so Christ's sacrifice upon Mount Calvary was the fulfillment of Scripture. You consider just for a moment the physical abuse and the punishment which Christ suffered at the hands of the Jews and the Romans. It was to fulfill the words of Isaiah 52 in the verse 14, where it tells us his visage was so marred more than any man. It was to fulfill the scriptures of Isaiah 53 in the verse 5, where it tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You consider this scourging whenever they opened my Lord and Savior's back. And they flogged him with that leather, that bone, that metal whip, and they lashed him and lashed him upon the back, and his back was like that furrow. That plowed furrow opened up. Why? Because it's through his stripes that we are healed. Indeed, even his very cries on the cross were the fulfillment of Scripture. You consider Psalm 22 in the verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When as he hung upon the cross, he would cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why? Then you consider as well the words of John 19 in the verse 28. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And here we have Joshua. That picture is there for us even to look at. Joshua's resurrection, Joshua's building off that altar to rededicate himself, to rededicate the people unto the Lord. It's in complete obedience to the word of God. We're told also in Joshua 8 and verse 31 that no man hath lift up any iron unto the making of the altar. No human touch. No work was to be done upon the stones. Whatever shape those stones were, they were to be left in that shape. They were not allowed to be smoothed in any way. They were not allowed to be chipped at in any way. They were not allowed to be molded or shaped into any other design. Whatever the stone shape was, that's the way they had to accept it. You know, again, that reminds us of the work of salvation. We are not to lift up any of our human, any man-made device to gather and to work at our salvation. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace alone. And the salvation which Christ has purchased for us, we do not add to it anything, and we do not change it in any way. Just as they were not allowed to lift any tool to it, we are not allowed to lift any man-made device to our salvation. We do not pay towards it because Jesus paid it all. We do not alter it in any way because Jesus completed it all. He cried at the cross, "It is finished." That picture is there even for us upon Mount Ebal. That picture is there even for us to consider of our Savior in this passage. Because Christ is seen in this passage so clearly. Joshua chose the place in accordance with God's will and to fulfill God's word. Not only will we consider the picture, but you think of the place of the altar. Verse 30, it tells us he built the altar upon Mount Ebal. It's Ebal, it's not Gerizim. Yes, Gerizim here is mentioned. Because of verse 33, it tells us half of the people stood upon Mount Gerizim and the other half were upon Mount Ebal. But it's upon Mount Ebal that Joshua will build the altar. We see that, and again, you have to go back to the book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 27. This time the verses 12 and 13. Just to set it in context, if you read the verse 11, it says, Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people." And the verse 13, "And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse." Ebal was the place of the curse. Gerizim was the place of the blessing. And that's why Joshua made the altar. That's why Joshua built the altar upon Mount Ebal. He went to the place of the curse. That's where the blood was shed. That's where the blood of the sacrifice, the peace offerings, and those offerings were offered up unto the Lord, the burnt offerings. They offered them upon the place of the curse, not upon the place of the blessing. The blood of the sacrifice was shed upon the cursed place. You see, our Savior, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, became a curse for us. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. He shed his own blood upon the cursed tree. Galatians 3 and the verse 13 it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And guess where those verses come from? Whenever it says, "For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree," guess what book in the Bible that's written in? It's the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21 to verse 23, "He that is hanged is accursed of God." You see, my friend, Scripture always complements Scripture. There's nothing like it. And even when we come to consider these words and we come to consider this experience of Joshua upon Mount Ebal, it's complementing the Scriptures that will follow. It's the picture, the perfect, the full picture which Christ has revealed to us. And at all points, it's a thread of redemption, it's a thread of salvation that runs through every single book in the Bible. All points us to Christ. That's why the Scriptures are so important. That's why they are that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path. And everything that day that Joshua did was in accordance with the Word of God. Whenever they went to Mount Ebal, he had that desire as they rededicated themselves, as they turned away from their sin, as they desired to worship the Lord and they desired to follow the Lord, they put what was right in the proper place. The worship of God, the Word of God. Brethren and sisters, may we grasp that truth. When we dedicate and rededicate ourselves to the Lord, may we grasp the truth that we center the Scriptures in everything that we do. Joshua, the leader of the people, he rededicated himself and he rededicated the people to the Lord. How did he do it? He obeyed the scriptures. Look at verse 31. Because he did everything in accordance as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, he obeyed the scriptures, of verse 31. Then it tells us in the verse 32 that he wrote the scriptures. He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And then it tells us in verse 34 that he read the scriptures. As it says, afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of it all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not. They take them people up to that mountain of Ebal. They make that journey away from Ai. They leave behind the city they've defeated. They leave behind that monument of stones. They walk those 20, 30 miles. They climb that mountain. And Joshua, before the people, he says, he brings them to that place. We are following the word of God. No longer will we turn away from it. No longer will we trust in ourselves. No longer will we believe in ourselves. We will look to the Lord. We will obey his word. He obeyed the scriptures. He wrote the scriptures. He read them. In verse 35, as I've said, not one word is left out. You see, child of God, when we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, when we worship him, there's only one voice we want to hear. And it's his voice. There's only one book that contains his words which he has spoken to us, and it's this book. It's the word of God. It's not the word of man. Yes, it was penned by men under the inspiration of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. It is God breathed every single word from the very first in the beginning to the very last amen of Revelation. Every single word is the word of God. This book does not just contain the word of God. This book is the word of God. As we rededicate ourselves to the Lord, as we have that desire to worship the Lord, as we have that desire to come to the altar place with the Lord and to meet with him and to have fellowship with him, may we ever do it around this book. This book is perfect. This book will never change. It's settled in heaven forever. Not one jot, not one tittle will ever fall from it. It's not to be added to. It's not to be taken away from, even as it tells us in those closing verses of Revelation 22. This book is perfect. And child of God, let me encourage you even this evening afresh to rededicate yourself to the Lord in your life and in your walk. And to have this book as the central point, the central place in your life. You walk in accordance with this book. That construction of the altar there led, yes, to the sacrifices, to the shedding of blood. All in accordance to God's word. That book was read. That book was written. That book was seen. It was penned up even there upon that plaster of those stones. It tells us in verse 35, the whole congregation of Israel is there. Told us in the earlier verse 33, the elders are there, the officers are there, the judges are there. The verse 35, it tells us the women are there, the children are there, the strangers are there. Everyone is guided, everyone is directed, everyone's attention is towards the book. Oh, may the scriptures have that sole authority even over us. As we rededicate ourselves to the Lord, as we give him the due place that he deserves in our lives, as we consider even who we are, We consider where we are in terms of our Christian walk. We consider everything that's going on in the world at this time. May we have this book as number one. May we turn to it. May we trust it. May we heed it. May we live by it. Even as Joshua did, may we first of all root out the sin. Now, when you consider before he ever went to Mount Ebal, before he ever dealt with anything else, first of all, what did he do? He rooted out the sin. Achan was dealt with. And they got that victory at Ai, and then they made sure, get to Ebal. Hear the word of God. And obey the word of God. And live by the word of God. May we rededicate ourselves to the Lord tonight. That we have that altar within our lives. That we have that personal altar that we open up the book. That we read it in our own private time, our private devotions when we're alone with God. May we pray over this book. May this word be even in our mouths. You think of those opening verses in the book of Joshua. In Joshua 1, it tells us that Joshua lived by this book. Joshua lived it. He immersed himself in it. It says in Joshua 1, the verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua, I believe that bitter lesson was learned at Ai. Because Joshua went to Ebal and he put the word of God central. He was encouraging the people to meditate in it themselves. Because the Lord had given that wonderful promise, then thou shalt have good success. And child of God, the Lord will bless you and be with you when you're following and obeying and immersing yourself in his word. Oh, may it be the testimony of each one that the word of God does not depart out of our mouth, but rather that it is that lamp to our feet, not light to our path. We heed it, and we follow it, and we obey it. We're going to close in prayer. Let me thank you for joining us again. I do pray that this message from the Lord has even been a blessing, encouragement, a challenge to you. Let me encourage again during this lockdown period and the Wednesday evening, even to spend some time in prayer in your own home. As you know, normally we would have that time of prayer here in the church, immediately after the preaching of the word. So let me encourage you in your own home, even now as this broadcast comes to an end, that you spend time alone with the Lord and spend time with your family, with your loved ones. Spend time in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every heart. We thank thee for the testimony, even that has been given to us this evening to consider, of how Joshua took the Israelites to Mount Ebal. He set up that altar upon that mountaintop. He wrote the word of God upon it. And he read it to the people. He rededicated himself. He rededicated that nation to the Lord. Oh, Father, we pray that thou wilt enable us, even by thy Spirit, to give ourselves to the daily, even reading, studying and meditating upon thy word. That we will have that personal altar in our lives. That we will have, O God, that family altar. That we will have the blessing of having the corporate altar. And we join together to worship and to praise and to meet with thee. Bless each one, we pray. Continue to speak through thy word. And give God all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.